gentlemen, thank you for coming to tonight's Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Tila Faye and Comic Book Club!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth
Boom.
Oh, my goodness, you guys. This is a big show for us. Well, almost a big show for us.
Yeah, this is the show where we're ghosts.
Is it?
Yeah, we look like ghosts up here, right? Do we look like ghosts? Do you believe that we've died?
Yes. You did?
Yes, we've died.
He's doing a hilarious bit on the lights, LED new lights that we have here.
Yep.
Yeah, so we do look like ghosts. I mean, the other thing that makes this kind of a special show is it is our second to last show here at the Pit.
People have been here 5 years.
Yeah, we've been here 5 years. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to be moving over to Pianos downtown to Lower East Side. What is your problem with how I say Pianos?
Pianos! What? Pianos!
Pianos!
Yeah.
Well, it seems so
Pianos.
Fancy.
Huh?
Yeah, pianos are fancy. Yeah.
Pianos are fancy.
Is it because, oh my God, am I pronouncing the P and the I and the A? So pianos. Oh, I do say it weird.
It's actually pianal.
Oh, man. That's the dirtiest
pianals
I've ever heard him do.
Anyway, we're moving to another place. On March 27th, 7:30. The show's going to be free. It's going to be filmed for the Nerdist Network, which is at youtube.com/Nerdist. So we're super excited about that.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. But before we leave the theater, since we have one more week here, what is on your bucket list? What do you guys want to do here at the theater before we
leave? I want to learn to play the piano. There's one right over there.
Cool. I'm glad your bucket list is very recent.
Yeah, it's new.
It was developed in the last 5 seconds.
Huh? Yeah. No, I've had a long-standing goal of learning to play the piano.
Pete, what about you? What's on your bucket list?
I want to be Boothman for a show, and then Boothman be me for a show.
That'd be amazing.
You have to do it this show.
Yeah, this is the one
to
do it.
All right, get up here, put on the bathrobe.
Well, this here's is creepy. The thing. I don't know if I can wear that.
First off, don't put that bathrobe.
Pull it off your bucket list. Pull it off.
All right.
Pull it off.
Retract that.
Also, I don't know how good you are at buttons. Pressing buttons.
Oh, yeah. With the lighting? Yeah, that might be tough.
Yep. Yeah, there's more than that.
Yeah, with the audio, too.
Hey,
yeah.
What are you watching?
The music. What about you, Alex? It's your
I don't know. Find all the buckets.
What?
For in the theater for my bucket.
You should watch the documentary Bucket List.
Documentary Bucket List?
Yep.
The one where Jack Nicholson died, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the
lead? Spoiler for the end of the bucket list, you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody told me. Yes. You guys got to check out the Wikipedia entry for the bucket list.
I know. You
really heartwarming.
I spent an hour talking you through the movie Bucket List. You should have just watched it.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was at Pianos.
I don't even know what you're saying anymore.
Guys, I'm very excited about the guests that we have on the show tonight.
Me too.
Wrote an amazing new comic book that just came out. It's called Superbia. The other is an announcer of the WWE and other fighting matches, and he's probably going to kill Justin, is what we heard.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Grace Randolph and Larry Legend!
Yeah! Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello. Oh, my goodness.
So formal.
Yes.
You two.
Larry Legend, you're dressed up. Grace, you're dressed in black.
Yeah.
Are you guys going out later?
I was gonna ask you, Alex.
Sure.
Oh, that's...
Wow.
Oh, that's
that was on my bucket list.
I hope she says yes, otherwise awkward.
So let's talk to you guys. Larry, you're sitting next to me. You have announced for the WWE...
Well, more or less for the WWE. I mean, I was featured on one of their programs.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you went to a match and you just started shouting.
Take it.
Right?
Yeah. Take that credit.
No, I was featured in the movie The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Really?
I am the voice in the movie The Wrestler. As soon as that movie starts, you hear an announcer announce Mickey Rourke's character. That is my voice. And they worked that into a storyline, so to speak. And to kick the storyline off on TV, the first thing that they showed was the trailer from The Wrestler. So I guess in a little way I was featured, but I have never been hired and contracted by the WWE to announce it.
Wait, let me get this straight. The WWE saw the movie The Wrestler, and they're like, we got to get that tone into our wrestling match. You know, a darkness.
Well,
a sad life.
Well, one of the characters on the WWE, Chris Jericho, took exception to the portrayal of the wrestling lifestyle. So he wanted to get some comeuppance, of course, on Mickey Rourke, who was portraying the character Randy the Ram Robinson. And to kick that off, you know, he came out, he did a promo, and he said, let's take a look at the trailer of The Wrestler. And it was actually at WrestleMania, which is their biggest show of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, my phone just started blowing up, and people were like, you're on WrestleMania. You're on WrestleMania. And I'm like, huh? And lo and behold, the trailer for The Wrestler was shown right before the match. So,
do a lot of wrestlers try and take down indie films?
Is it like, I was going to say, so he was like, let's take a look at this trailer, and then show the trailer. And he's like, now let's analyze this trailer.
Yeah. Well, no. It's Vince McMahon, the master impresario of professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. He is the one who really had a lot of exception to the movie coming out and the portrayal of professional wrestling and the lifestyle. So
he didn't the editing, or the director of photography was a real dick.
The pointing the finger at the fact that you know, wrestlers really live not the most glamorous lifestyle when they're not in front of the camera. So I think that he took exception to it and figured, I'll make some money off of this. And got Mickey Rourke involved, and it was a big old schmoz, but I guess I kind of had a little bit of a hand in it because the trailer was shown on WWE programming.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
But you are actually announcing this weekend at Madison Square Garden, right?
For the first time ever, I will be holding the microphone in my hand in Madison Square Garden.
Wow. Nice.
It's a huge thing for me. I'm really excited about it, but it will not be professional wrestling. It will be the art of Muay Thai.
Whoa. Oh, I know how to do that.
Yeah,
that
Justin, I don't want to hear from you. I want to hear from Justin.
Sure.
What goes into Muay Thai?
It's like kicking jumps.
Show up.
Jump kicking.
Show up.
Jump kicking?
Yeah, it's like jump kicking. It's like, bah.
Yeah. Is that about right?
They do a lot of jumping.
Thank you, Larry.
I don't want to pip you out or anything like that.
No, it's all right.
But
I'm competing.
If Justin and Pete were going to do a little Muay Thai, like a little thing, could you announce?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Would you guys mind fighting?
Oh, yeah.
Let's fight. Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. Right, just so you know, this is not a rehearsed bit.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. They're going to fight. And for those of you listening at home, Larry, you're going to announce the match.
Absolutely. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introductions. Introducing first, fighting out of the red corner, representing the Pitt People's Improv Theater, ladies and gentlemen, Pete LePage. And his opponent, fighting out of the blue corner, also representing the People's Improv Theater, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff.
It's Justin Tyler.
I
was going for sound effect fighting because, you know, of the podcast, but I see.
I'm a real kickboxer.
I like that kind of talk.
You just punch in.
All right, great. Good match, everybody.
The match is over.
That was great. So that's basically how the Muay Thai match is going to go.
Well, it's a little bit more to it than that, but they start off a lot of the times with me announcing and usually getting the combatants correct.
Oh, yeah?
I apologize.
Well, it's one of those things
by Jeff.
Like, people know the marquee fighters, but the guys who are trying to make a name for themselves, they don't know their names.
The absolute bottom tier fighters?
Yeah.
Like guys who like have a day job?
Well, it's like in prison when you're there at the beginning, everybody's called Fish. In Muay Thai, everybody's called Jeff.
Everybody's called Jeff.
Oh, exactly. Oh, and let me say, Alex, your time in prison has really served you well. I think you're better for it. Thank you so much.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
Prison was real tough, you guys. I had a bad time.
Yeah, you should see the tattoo he has on his back. It's fucked up.
It says, I'm having a bad time. Prison, 1982.
It says Jeff written in really a big font.
Yeah. All right, Grace, let's chat with you. So you had a comic book that came out the past week from Boom, Grace Randolph's Superbia.
Yes.
Yeah, congratulations.
Speaking of marquee, how'd you get your name above the title?
I think that they were capitalizing on my blog on Bleeding Cool, and also my time on The Watcher for Marvel, and also I have another YouTube show called Beyond the Trailer, which I had 50 million views last year, so I guess, you know.
Yeah.
We'll throw that name around a little bit, or that number.
Yeah, we should probably call this Grace Randolph's Comic Book Club.
There you go.
fight. We were Muay Thai fighting, I think.
By the way, I wanted to point out, that you have 3D glasses on. Those are 3D glasses from the movie.
He wears 3D glasses all the time.
Yeah. Yep. All
this
the
guy
time
lives
with the
extreme.
The lens is popped out. Yeah, absolutely.
It's nice. I figured
that if you have to pay $19.50 to go see a film in New York City, and it does have a little recycle emblem on the side of them, I figured I might as well
take
that.
They're yours.
Recycling. Yeah.
I'm totally the same thing, but I'm always eating popcorn.
Yeah. So cool.
I don't know.
I like it.
All right. Thank you. Let's pause there for that one as much as we possibly can. Great. So talk to us about the book. For people that didn't pick it up, what's the general idea?
Oh, sure. It's basically, there's always times people are focusing on like the superheroes of a group, but this focuses on the girlfriends and the husbands, you know, the spouses, the characters. My feeling was, you know, you see Peter Parker's like, "See ya, MJ." Like, what happens to MJ when he leaves, and like, what's she thinking? You know, just the, in the comic,
she makes a deal with the devil.
They did that together.
Oh, right,
yeah,
right.
I was a couple time.
Yeah, that's nice. Couple therapy with the devil.
So it's sort of like, I mean, this has been all over the place, but it's Desperate Housewives, but with superheroes.
Yeah, actually, I got the idea watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I didn't want to watch it, but my sister and my mother were watching it, and they were like, you know how to see this show. It's amazing. Yeah. And I was like, all right. And it was like the premiere episode, and I was like, this show's great. That's my favorite one. I only watch Beverly Hills, but it's very good.
And they were like, we should be in a comic book. Somebody put us in a comic book.
Yeah, they came out of the television. And they were like, no. I was like, well, they have all these different cities. I thought how clever that each show had its own personality. And I was like, well, what if they had, like, superheroes? What would that be like? So I started playing with it from there.
Cool. The other thing that I thought was kind of neat about it is it doesn't just play on the superhero stuff, but it also has an ongoing story, villains, and actually functions as a superhero comic as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope everybody feels that way. You know, I wanted to create, like, a new world. You know, you use the archetype so that, because there are a lot of characters, so that people can just jump right in and be like, oh. But also I like twisting the archetypes, doing something new with them. Like, I was saying in some interviews for the comic that you really find out something extra about a person by who they're dating, right? You think you know someone, and then you meet their significant other, and you're like, oh, I didn't know. That changes my opinion of you. So
let me just say right then, Pete and I were Jedi married a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel differently about
you. We had a Jedi priest on the show, which I guess is a thing, and then he married us.
Yeah,
I'm glad they're very progressive.
We've both fought and been married.
Yep, we've lived, certainly.
That's so great. What with you guys being about to die and all.
Yeah.
Who's the spouse and who's the hero?
I'm the hero.
Yeah?
I want to be the spouse.
Okay, great. So, you're the star of a comic book.
Huh? You don't have to say it so quickly like it's a rush. Because I always say spouse.
I'm sorry I didn't do the dishes last night, okay?
Yeah, last night. I wish.
This is so weird.
Grace, let's talk a little bit more about some of the other stuff you do. So you have Superbia. You're also doing a show on Bleeding Cool where you talk about comics. Think About the Ink. You want to chat about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. So I started in December. It's a comic book show. It's a vlog. I have two shows a week. On Tuesdays, it's Stacktastic. One went up today. I was talking about Ultimate Comics, Spider-Man by the Numbers. I broke down the comic from when it first debuted year by year to see Marvel's decisions, like why they rebooted it. Because it got surprisingly low in sales. Around 2010, it dropped to 35,000 copies. Selling. And so you can, so I mean, while I explored the idea of how it looks like a creative decision, but then when you look at the numbers, it's a business decision to try and get more people reading the book, and how Miles Morales is actually slipping. So that's why Spider-Man is coming in June.
Cool. And so you're going to announce, I think, that Superbia is being rebooted next issue, right?
Yes.
Good. The old number two reboot.
Yeah. Comics are crazy these days.
Yeah, I'd actually love to see that. I'd love to see a comic that reboots every single issue.
Yeah.
Or like every
Groundhog Day, the comic. Groundhog Day, the comic.
Oh, perfect.
I like that kind of talk. I like that kind of talk.
You can announce it. That would be great.
Yeah.
In this corner, Sovereign. In that corner, Helen. Those characters from my comic.
Just call them all Jeff. It'll be fine. They're all Jeff.
I want to roll with this Jeff thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Me too.
Are you?
Huh? I am, yeah.
All right,
I just
guys.
Changed my Twitter handle to Jeff.
wasn't
taken, no.
Really? Yeah. At Jeff? No. All right, well, you guys
Jeff's
should tweet at Justin at Jeff on Twitter, so that's pretty exciting.
That's not confusing.
Nope, not at all. And guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Stack. All right, so the idea here with the Stack is we have each made a pick, some comic book that we particularly like this week that we want to go bat for in some way. So we're going to go through it. First of all, Pete's pick, The Manhattan Project's number one.
Let me say, Pete, your copy of this comic is all bent up. I thought you cared about comics.
Don't you dare say that's your crappy comic.
No, I don't know.
Mine is bagged and boarded, but then why is it crushed from love?
Yeah.
Punch Jeff.
All right, Muay Thai fighting.
In this quarter, we have Jeff.
That's right.
For those of you listening at home,
I just broke Beatrice.
Never.
Amazing. So let's talk about the Manhattan Projects. What did you guys think about this book? I'm passing it on if you guys want to look at it.
It's all right.
I really thought this was a kind of cool take on the Manhattan Project. I just thought it was a fresh take on the Manhattan Project. Yeah, you know, it's a kind of reimagining.
Like Einstein's been doing that same old shit with his Manhattan Project.
I think he's talking about the movie, The Manhattan Project.
Oh, cool.
No.
Oh, nope. Are you talking about the island Manhattan and your project of coming here every day?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I travel from Brooklyn. It's this faraway land. Yeah.
Is that what a project sounds like?
Yes, that's what a project was.
Tell people what the Manhattan Project is about.
It's an amazing take on an actual event that happened a while ago and underground layers of secrecy and intrigue.
The history is the Manhattan Project, the original, was the creation of the atomic bomb
during
World War II.
Can I tell you that I had a history teacher, a chemistry teacher, who we all was supposed to have worked on the Manhattan Project, and the rumor going around my high school was that she wore a long sleeve because her veins were glowing.
Really? The rumor was that she worked on the Manhattan Project?
Yeah.
Was it true?
Nobody dared to ask her because we were all getting C's in chemistry.
She was
a wonderful teacher. Her theory was we were getting C's because we got scared during tests. We knew the material, but we would freak out.
She's scared of her?
No, scared of getting wrong answers. We choked.
I thought maybe it was scared of radiation
poisoning. Oh, maybe. Yeah. She's also a supervillain.
Yeah. Cool. Did you guys read this book? What did you think about it? Thoughts?
I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. I mean, I know that everyone loves it. It's getting great buzz. I'm not a huge Hickman fan.
What?
It's like I'm not the only one. I feel like I think he's a great idea guy. I liked Fantastic Four when he started, but I think he gets a little too dense. I think he assumes everybody like majored in chemistry and science, and I'm often like, I don't totally know what you're talking
about. But I think this is a good project for him because it is
a Manhattan project.
Great job, guys.
Thank you.
Great job.
Yes, because it is sciencey and it is kind of in his wheelhouse. And I feel like hopefully he'll stay focused and this will be as great as the first issue.
Well, I agree, though. S.H.I.E.L.D., if it's so much stuff in S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm like, holy shit.
Exactly. Who is he thinking?
Can we ruin a couple of things about this issue so people know what we're talking about?
Sure.
Is that all right with you guys? So the idea with this, it focuses on Joseph Oppenheimer, obviously a key figure in the Manhattan Project. Here, in the vaguest possible terms, it posits that there are an infinite amount of Oppenheimers and an infinite amount of universes. The Manhattan Project is supposed to be this horrible thing developing the atomic bomb, so people think, oh my God, the thing that they're trying to hide is the atomic bomb, when really what they're trying to hide is parallel universe research, alien research, and other deeper things like that. Yeah. They have Albert Einstein locked in a room with some sort of obelisk.
That was cool.
Yeah, and Joseph Oppenheimer is actually not Joseph Oppenheimer, but instead his cannibalistic
spoiler
twin who eats him before the end of the issue.
Yeah.
So there's some crazy stuff going on
there. It's pretty crazy. And then when that whole thing where he's like firing that giant gun, and he's like, that is so creepy and awesome.
Right. Joseph Oppenheimer is firing a gun at ninja robots that are sent from Japan in a gigantic red dot.
Doesn't he look like Professor Xavier's sister?
Yes.
Drawn
a little
by
bit.
Frank.
New X-Men.
Yeah. I really like the art in this issue. What is it? What's his name? Nick Patara, who did the art. Very good. Yeah. Really good stuff. I really particularly like the coloring as well that showed the differences between the different Oppenheimers, where you had the good Oppenheimer and the evil Oppenheimer, and it wasn't exactly what you thought was going on the whole time.
Twist.
Yeah, the big twist that I ruined. and I agree with you guys about Hickman. I feel like he's very cerebral. And if you like that sort of thing, it's a very smart, well-constructed, well-written read, but it lacks a certain element of soul, I think.
Yeah.
That's not really...
This, though, of his stuff, I think this is a little bit more... A little bit better. I feel like Fantastic Four and S.H.I.E.L.D. is super cerebral. This is a little bit more story-focused, which I like.
Well, I think he's building a mythology, too, which is cool. Yeah.
And the middle part of the issue where they're looking at all these alternate experiments is really cool. I just couldn't get past the fact that the cover's all bent up and Pete's going to...
Like you're an asshole.
When Pete grades this
it's
comic...
It's crazy, actually. I mean, you're going to try to actually drag this by the comic book grading people
Stop
at some convention
it.
And be like, here's my garbage.
It hurts to look
here's
at that
my
thing.
Garbage.
Just to recap, though, so you're saying Hickman doesn't have a soul? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
When I met him at a convention one time, he said, and I don't know what that meant, but it certainly implied he didn't have a soul.
Very cerebral.
Yeah, it was real cerebral.
Very cerebral.
I was like, I don't get what you're saying. You're too smart for me.
Forward to this when this gets rebooted to the Muppets Take the Manhattan Projects.
Have you been waiting to say that for like 3 months?
Oh, well, 1 minute. At least a full solid minute I thought of that, and I was like, put it in your pocket, JT. That's what I said.
Jeff.
Yo, I don't want people to get too confused. I think there's a new guy here.
Let's move on with your pick, Jeff. Swamp Thing, number 7 from DC Comics.
Enjoy Swamp Thing.
So talk about this book. This is in really good condition, first of all, so I wanted to credit you for that.
Thank
I think you did a great job.
Well, you know, I care about the medium.
Yo, screw you, you bastard. You don't care.
I do
you
care,
Pete. You
should
care.
Pete, I do care.
You don't.
Pete, I take my comics and I have someone else read them with cleaner hands than mine. And then they tell me about them.
That's the weirdest way to read a comic I've ever
it
heard
It keeps
about.
Them pristine. Because that's what I care about. Swamp Thing.
So that's Swamp Thing.
Yeah. Swamp Thing. This comic's been... everyone's talking about this and Animal Man as like the big sort of DC from the New 52, the ones that are really killing it. And I think this Swamp Thing sort of took a leap above Animal Man with this issue, I thought. Really great stuff. The trees are dying, and Alec Holland is like also dying along with them. And this is a huge debate between him and the spirits of the green. And it's
Lorax,
and not the Lorax. it's great. It's really great stuff. It's very emotional. But it's him sort of stepping up and becoming the hero he's. They said he's not, and it's all about love. It's very relationship based, and it's
if
beautifully drawn.
I mean, this is just a question, but if I haven't seen the Lorax, will I understand this issue?
Let's see here. Just take a look at Danny DeVito and imagine him nude, and that's what this comic is.
No, I would
hooray!
Like to.
Everyone, it's a polarizing topic.
It's like 50-50.
She's a woman? Remember that from the Lorax?
How do you... Nobody knows catchphrases from the Lorax.
Yeah, it's the only thing they played from the trailer over and over again.
Yeah, it's in the trailer.
Anyways.
Also, the Lorax beat your little John Carter film out this weekend.
Oh. Yeah.
Look, I'm sorry. I worked on that for 3 months, but I guess it didn't matter.
You should put more time in.
Yeah.
I would like to say the Swamp Thing is really badass in this, and it was very enjoyable to read.
This issue is great. Really like this comic a lot. I agree with you. I think it's taken a leap with this issue, specifically because it feels like we're finally getting to it. The entire thing has been about Alec Holland, who was formerly the Swamp Thing, the protector of all plant life on Earth, basically.
Which seems boring.
The green.
It seems boring, but, you know, he does it by killing people.
Here's the thing. I had a fern in my apartment, and I killed it, and he showed up. He was like, what the fuck are you doing?
But you know what? What I wonder is, like, how you can have all this going on and the JLA isn't aware of it. I mean, the Justice League, they're not like...
Right, because what's going on in this...
This is, like, a major problem.
In Animal Man, there's this spirit of death called the rot that's taken over the world. So all over America, there's just evil animals are eating everybody. In Swamp Thing, evil plants and people are, like, walking backwards and eating things.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I definitely was reading this.
Right?
I was like, why isn't anybody stopping them?
Him? Yeah, and I think Buddy Baker, wasn't he like, I think they're busy. We can't call them. You know, I'm like, this is kind of important.
Well, there's so much shit going on in any comic book universe at any particular time. Nobody has any time.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true. They have a chart in the Justice League Watchtower. Superman
has to keep track of what year he's in at any point.
Yeah.
He's like, am I 5 years back? Am I 1 year back? Am I 1 year forward? What's going on?
I would let bullet in my brain.
Larry, you're a horror comics fan.
I am a horror comics fan.
So this started off a little gory. Was that up your alley? Or what's
it
going on?
Definitely caught my attention, all of the hellfire and brimstone on the first couple pages, and then in particular the macabre once I guess the Swamp Thing was reborn, the way that he sort of eradicated all of those soldiers with the
man
stems.
You can make anything sound pretty nice.
Yeah. I'm into the gore. I was really into Tales from the Crypt and the Tomb of Dracula as well. So things of that nature always attract me to comic books.
I'll tell you what, I think he's got both his soul and Jonathan Hickman's.
I got a couple souls living in me right now.
Now that's a big reveal. I agree with you, Alex. I feel like up until now, Alex Holland and Swamp Thing has been like, I don't want to be Swamp Thing. And this issue was like, I'm fucking Swamp Thing.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, it's nice that he got his act together finally.
He grows wings.
Yeah, he really got his act together.
Yeah, he went back to community college and got his degree and became Swamp.
Yeah, his GED.
Yeah.
Yeah.
GED. He was DeVry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. They have welding, cosmetology,
PCR
and Swamp
repair.
Thing.
Next issue, this is going to be called DeVry Thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's going to college. I look forward to it.
Awesome.
Think of his roommate.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yo, you should go to college.
No, thanks. It never did anything for anybody. Let's move on to my pick, The Amazing Spider-Man 681.
Yay!
From Marvel Comics.
Yay!
Did you say you didn't like it, Pete?
No, I said people like it.
Oh, people do like it. This is kind of my reliable go-to top-of-the-stack comic. This is always the thing every single week that I want to read first, Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, it's just always fun, always good, always enjoyable. This issue, you have Human Torch and Spider-Man teaming up in space. Dr. Octopus has these tiny little Octobots that are attached to people's heads, turning them into zombies. So basically, Spider-Man, Human Torch, and John Jameson, who sometimes is a werewolf in space, but mostly not, are hanging out on a spaceship trying to escape from zombies, and that's really fun. But the thing that really made this issue for me is there is this wonderful bit right in the middle where they spent the entire issue. Spider-Man comes up with this plan where he's like, okay, we're going to release all the air from the spaceship and then turn it right back on. So everybody who's a zombie falls unconscious and then comes back to life. And then they come up with this other plan that would necessitate...
Well, they do that.
Yeah, they do that. Everybody falls unconscious. There's no air there. And then they're like, okay, let's do this other plan. And Human Torch is like, why didn't you do that other plan first? And Spider-Man's like, well, because... And that's pretty much it. And it's just selling out the first half of this issue. And I just felt like it was a ton of fun.
You enjoyed the fact that Spider-Man's wrong every once in a while?
Yeah, I think
that's
realistic. Enjoyable. It was a good, funny bit.
Yeah, it's realistic to be wrong about evacuating the space station you're on to release the Octobots from the zombie control of the other astronauts.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't
face problems like that every day. Like when I was like, should I kill this fern or not?
And that sounds like college learning to me.
Yeah.
College learning.
Yeah, I feel like...
When did you go to college? In the 50s?
Dan Slott does an amazing job with Spider-Man, and it's a great Spider-Man voice, and I feel like he's doing an amazing job of keeping it fun, but also really great in the events and all the other kind of like human aspects that is Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's really good. I also liked I liked this arc a lot, this story, but my favorite was like I think 2 issues ago when they had the dimensional doorway.
Oh yeah,
that was like one of the best Spider-Man issues I've read in a long time.
It's been fun, like sort of like two. Issue arcs.
I agree.
Yeah.
And the Horizon Labs thing is great for the character.
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you been reading Spider-Man?
I haven't been reading Spider-Man, but I did, in fact, read this issue. The banter between the Torch and Spider-Man is what really hooked me. It almost seemed kind of homoerotic at the end when they were sort of, you know, sailing towards... what is it, Daytona Beach or some sort of like resort.
It's creepy because they're like going to hang out with high school kids.
Yeah, but... They were high school kids?
Well, it's spring break.
In Pete's mind, they were.
But, yeah, that really hooked me in during
spring
the...
college. Where did you go to high school?
I mean, you know.
Hang out with a bunch of toddlers on a beach.
Yeah. Dude, preschool break is the craziest.
I think that's it for the stack, you guys. All right, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Booth Mike. Who looks like that because he lives in the booth. That is the second to last time we're going to say that.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit.
No, you're not. You're going to live on the side of the stage when we're in pianos.
Pianos.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Piano.
Piano.
Pianos. I can't. Pianos.
Oh, good. Very good.
You like that?
Very
Spanish.
Spanish, yeah.
Is it?
Oh.
Sure. Let's get the first question.
First question. There. First off, every question this week is great.
Oh,
so
nice.
Good
That's
job,
exciting.
All of you.
I get worried when you say that.
Yeah.
First question. Spider-Man the Musical is currently on Broadway. Which comic do you think would translate into a musical best?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Nice.
Any thoughts, anybody? What?
The first thing comes Deadpool the Musical.
Yeah!
There was actually, for those of you who don't know, there was a recent issue of Deadpool that was all a musical, and somebody in this audience may or may not have put it to music and put it online, and it may or may not exist anymore, but you might be able to find it.
You love it? Cool,
though. Yeah, it was really cool while it was up.
I may or may not be excited about it then.
All right. You can just be excited. We may or may not talk about it later.
Okay.
When?
I'm scared.
Are you guys not telling me something?
We'll tell you when you're older.
Yeah. So what
do you guys
think?
Yeah, good musical.
I guess Batwoman, because the visuals are so good.
Oh, you know? Nice.
That'd be
nice,
kind of
nice,
interesting. Nice.
Julie Taymor, it would fit then?
It doesn't have to be Julie Taymor. Remember, she's bad at stuff.
No, just Julie Taymor.
I actually saw Spider-Man.
You
want
to see Julie Taymor, the musical?
Oh, no.
You saw the Spider-Man musical?
I saw it. I saw it when it was her version. And while the second half was really kind of a mess, the first half was so good that I was like, there's definitely salvageable stuff here. I really actually thought it was very good.
Wow.
Cool. Nice.
Larry, any opinions? What would you want to see as a superhero musical?
I guess I'm going to be a little biased, and what I'd probably go out to actually see live as a musical, Ultimate Thor. I would enjoy.
Ultimate Thor.
Ultimate Thor. I would hope that maybe one of my coworkers, Triple H, would land that role. That'd be another thing to get me out there to see it. I know he really wanted to land it in the film version of Thor, but I would love to see. I mean, if he can don the tights and get up there in front of millions, weekly, I don't see why he couldn't, sing a tune or two on Broadway.
Would he take it as a consolation prize to be singing Thor the musical on Broadway?
He'll do anything at this point to get in the echelon of The Rock. So I would say
Think Triple H doing Ultimate Thor the musical on Broadway, people are going to be like, you're the new Rock. Probably. All right, I'm going to go with you.
It seems like it's something new every day, and a lot of times you get these sort of crossover celebrity types that get involved in musicals to get, the common people in. So I could see nothing but
common man.
WWE t-shirts and DX t-shirts in the theater.
All WWE cast in Thor the musical.
Perfect.
I can't do this anymore. I'm hanging up, Mjolnir.
It's pretty good.
I'll do the book.
that's actually the lyrics that you just did.
Book? Lyrics. No, I'm saying I'll do the book because my lyrics are bad.
Okay. I get it. Just a thought. I'm just going to spitball here a little bit, but you guys all like My Fair Lady, right? I mean, that's pretty popular.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah!
Who
you
doesn't?
You
My
know
Fair
that
Lady
about
is
all
great,
of us.
Very popular musical.
The Rain
so I think the well is really primed for language-based musicals.
Oh, I see.
So
where
I think
going here.
Cypher the musical would be really good.
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
Sort of in a Les Mis style.
No, I mean in a My Fair Lady style.
Oh.
Remember when we brought up My Fair Lady?
Yeah, I know. I got that.
Okay.
I was setting up something I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, in Les Mis style.
No, never mind now.
No, I want to hear it.
You can no longer ignore us. Quick, open up the thesaurus.
Wow.
You could do the book.
Okay, good. I'll just be in the audience for that one.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming out to my show.
This was an amazing question, so whoever this was, thank you.
Yeah, raise your hand. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question. Woo-hoo. Slow clap.
Nice t-shirt as well.
Would the U.S. win the war in Iraq if Deadpool fought on our side?
Yeah! Oh, boy. I think Iraq would win the war on the U.S. if Deadpool fought on our side.
Interesting.
And then vice versa. It would just keep going back and forth. Because Deadpool
technically,
didn't
America win the war in Iraq, if I remember correctly? Huh?
Vietnam was a draw.
It was a draw?
Yeah, right, and Vietnam was a draw, too.
Whoa.
Wow, we won that one.
Whoa.
What?
Hey, Dean Martin, take it easy. He was drinking at the time.
Busted.
For those listening at home.
Though. Busted. Oh, I thought that was because he was doing, sort of a smoky Dean Martin voice.
Yeah, thank you. what do you guys think? Would Deadpool affect the outcome of the war in Iraq?
I think he would get distracted. Very easily. And go start another war.
Yeah. Yes. Nice.
Part of the problem is in the Marvel Universe, I'm pretty sure Iraq doesn't exist and there's just
Kandahar.
No, wait, that's the DC Universe. Is Kandak?
Yeah.
Okay, so he'd go to the DC Universe and fight in Kandak.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Great idea. Hey, now that's the crossover everybody wants. The geopolitical amalgam universe.
Yeah.
I think he would really. Deadpool would work for Blackwater. He's for hire, I think. So he wouldn't want to go through boot camp and all that. Right?
Probably. Sure. Yeah. I mean, that was a reasonable answer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I have to say.
Great, Richard.
I'm very reasonable.
That. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Whoop.
If you could be the housewife slash husband, thank you for being gender neutral, to a superhero, who would you choose?
I think that's a question for Grace.
Well, it's for all of us.
Sure, but let's have Grace answer it.
Oh, fine.
You always answer all the questions.
I know. I was going to say Pete anyway, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. Grace, any thoughts?
Okay. If I had to pick, that's a tough one. I guess I would pick Superman in the real world because, I don't know, Lois Lane turned out pretty nice for her.
She can fall off anything and he'll pick her up. Yeah.
But I think that in my comic book, the best spouse right off the bat would have to be Cosmic Champion.
Nice.
Cosmic Champion?
Yes, go pick out my comic book. I can see a lot of people haven't read it yet. They're all like, sounds fascinating.
Well, we're just meeting them, so we don't know exactly. Yeah.
Yes, Dion Jenkins. That's the character.
All right. All right.
Probably it's spouse or what is it?
Husband or housewife.
Right. House
you want to be husband? Married to?
Probably the Beast.
Yeah.
Nice.
You'd have to have a lint roller, though, constantly. And go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all in a name with him, so you already know. You know.
Larry Legend.
But also, I've always really been into intellectual people.
Oh, I thought you were going to say furry.
I want to keep it at least PG.
Yeah, nice.
For my first time in the pit.
Yeah. That's all right.
Man, this is a tough question. Yeah.
There's so many choices. That's what's tough.
Well, there's so many choices, they're all bad choices.
They
I keep thinking of. Oh, a Wolverine. That would be great. No, you're going to die immediately the second he falls in love with you.
Yeah, he'll never live up to Jean Grey. He'll always be thinking about Jean Grey.
Jean Grey. She dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to think, okay, who's steady? Who has a steady marriage? Like,
oh, come on. You're not building a house for them. It's just a fun question. You're not thinking about the 401k.
No, this is important.
Yeah.
I don't
who's going to be the best earner? Like, and where? Like, I want to know have a good elementary school for the kids and where they don't go on spring break like old LePage. What?
Hal Jordan?
He's a real
He would never be around.
Yeah, he's very bad.
Jason Todd? Yeah. I'd be like, hey,
really
could you help?
Yeah.
Jason Todd, I'd be like, could you help me with this? I just need a crowbar. And he'd be like, no. Nah.
He's so sensitive.
What do you think?
What do I think?
She-Hulk.
It's not about money, Jordan. Jesus, you're all heartless.
Don't single out our audience members like that.
Yeah, I was talking about like the royal Jordan.
You know what, maybe. how about Iron Man?
Iron Man?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's a lot of baggage.
Buddy, he's going to be sleeping with another Alex Dalvin here.
Well,
real quick.
First of all, I'm not gay.
Okay.
So I could just hang out in his house.
You just want to play with all his toys?
Wait, you want to be a butler? Or do you want to dress as a woman? Or do you want to put on... Or both.
I like that.
Nice.
That's the two choices.
Well, we said there was an implied relationship there.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Well,
I don't have a good answer to this
one. My time with Pete has taught me that it's really hard to maintain a relationship with a hero.
Right.
I would choose Silver Sable.
Oh, come on.
Because she lives in a fucking castle.
Yeah.
She has, like, a pretty sweet costume.
I think I'm going to agree with Larry. I'm going to go with Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl?
Yeah. She's, like, 15, bro.
Well, then, 10 years from now.
Yeah.
You think she's going to fall for you when you're, like, 50?
Damn it.
Plus,
I was
sort
thinking,
of,
like, she doesn't do a lot.
What, you like that tail?
Well,
she babysits.
Hey,
I'll tell you what.
Wolverine dated her, right? Wolverine. Now,
this is what I love about comic book girls. I keep getting older, and they keep staying the same age.
Hey, man, watch the leather.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Yay,
let's get the next question.
Question.
Wow, unbelievable.
Which comic book series should never be made into a movie?
Punisher.
You're an asshole. You're an asshole.
I think we've done enough.
Well, it's one of those unfilmable concepts.
Yeah. Yeah, no one gets it.
Yeah. Any thoughts? What would you like to see never, ever turned into a movie?
Can I pick... Likewise, I would pick one that's already been done. I think Watchmen would have been a better television series than a movie.
Ah.
Ooh.
I think that's pretty fair. I also... Why the Last Man? I don't know that I want to see that.
Funny. I was just looking that up because I was trying to see where the state of it was.
Yeah, I know they were talking about making it into three movies or something like that. DJ Caruso was going to film it with Shia LaBeouf as Why the Last Man.
He's like, no.
I just read the quote today. He was like, this is too close to my character in Transformers. I was like, yeah, great. Wouldn't want to repeat that work as an actor.
Right. Well, there's those scenes in Why the Last Man. He's the last man because everybody else is robots.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Spoiler.
Yeah, Jesus.
By the way, actually, side note, I reread Why the Last Man number one the other week. That is a great book.
Yeah,
if
great
you've
comic.
Never read that comic, it's free online on DC Comics or on Comixology. That is a perfect first issue. And he even teases, he shows you exactly why Yorick survives the entire series in the first issue, which I didn't realize. So there you go. No spoilers.
Don't spoil
it's because of the robots. The robots protected.
Yeah. Exactly.
What about you guys? What would you want to see never filmed?
I hope The Preacher never gets filmed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, it was pretty close for a long time there.
Yeah.
The TV series.
Yeah, I just feel like that book was amazing and perfect. Don't ever ruin that for me.
But wouldn't you want to see, even a bad version is worth seeing, right?
No.
Huh? Is it? I'm asking. I pose that.
I got to tell you, I kind of want to see a character poster in a movie theater for Arseface. I sort of want to see that just with like Arseface over it.
Yeah.
Preacher, and people are like, I'm not
like,
going to go
see
that.
We dare you to see this movie.
And you're like, no thank you.
To the poster?
Yeah.
No thank you.
Put Johnny Depp in it and bam.
Johnny Depp.
Perfect. Yeah. Great. Hey, did you guys see the picture of Johnny Depp as Tonto in The Lone Ranger?
Mm-mm. Great stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So there's a Lone Ranger movie coming from Jerry Bruckheimer.
Can you get it up on your...
Armie Hammer is... I'll check it in a second. Armie Hammer is playing the Lone Ranger. Johnny Depp is Tonto.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great... Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that offensive?
It may be a little offensive.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
All right. This is a similar question.
Okay.
Which comic book series should be adapted into an anime?
Anime. You say Gen 13. Good answer from the audience.
Pokemon would be great.
Finally, what's all that, the noodle books you read?
Noodle books?
The noodle anime stuff you read.
What are you talking about?
The noodle,
about?
The
tentacle
food.
Porn?
No, the food. Yeah, hentai. All those hentai books you read.
Yeah? What are you talking about?
No. Yeah, the noodle based manga you read. Noodle.
The noodle based?
The food. There's a food prep.
Oh, right. Food manga. Oh, my God. You know the name of this.
Iron Walk Jan?
Is that what you're thinking of? Iron Walk Jan.
Got it.
Great. That was worth it.
Yeah, that was
worth
smooth.
It. I thought you knew it a little
sure,
bit.
Sure, that would be great. I haven't read it in a couple of years.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Ultimate Noodle Fight Party would be pretty good.
Anything that's a party.
Any thoughts? What would you like to see as an anime?
Suicide Squad.
Suicide. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, nice, nice.
That would be good. Larry, any thoughts?
When I was younger, one of my favorite comic books to read was the comic book version of the movie Fright Night that was recently just redone.
That was a good remake.
Of the movie?
Yeah, I liked it. Sorry.
Oh, geez. A fire just lit up in Larry's eyes.
No. I'm going to have to write. I didn't enjoy it that much, only because I was such a big fan of the original.
Did not see the original, so.
Guys, I feel like this date is not going well.
Jeez.
So if you could...
That's it.
it's worth seeing for Roddy McDowall alone as the vampire hunter, the fearless vampire hunter, Peter Vincent.
In the original.
In the original, right.
So. People are going to see the new one and be like, where's Roddy McDowell?
I think you're thinking of Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
No, Peter Vincent.
Oh, okay.
Peter Vincent, the vampire slayer in Fright Night.
I wouldn't challenge him on Fright Night facts. He's got this covered.
Well, I read the comic over and over again, as I did with my Nightmare on Elm Street comic, and I used to get a lot of comic books that were films that I grew up watching, and I would always want to get the comic version. There was a store where I grew up in Baltimore where I could get those. But I would like to see an anime version of that, because I remember there were some pretty scintillating sex scenes of the vampires, biting right into the victim's breast. And
how old were you when you read these comics? Your parents were like, "Oh, those comics are fine."
Yeah, but you were a controversial guest.
Hey, the side of the glasses says real. So I was like 11, 12, and
really,
my aunt took exception to it, but my mom was like, "Anything goes," you know. Like that, what he wants.
Go, mom.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you raise your hand if you ask that? Do we have any more?
No, we're out. But I have a special prize.
Yeah?
That I got in my Cinnamon Toast Crunch this morning. It's a Star Wars pen.
What? Whoa. Awesome. That's pretty cool. Wow. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're getting a Star Wars pen. All right. For the rest of the questions, we're going to do a speed round. So first answer is always correct.
Journey into Mystery is my favorite, but will Loki stay
like
a kid forever?
Yeah.
I hope so. I think it's great.
Agreed.
It's so good.
Yeah, I don't think so, because Kieran Gillen, who's the writer, recently said in interviews that he has a planned arc for Journey into Mystery. He knows sort of what the roadmap of is.
Way to ruin it.
Where it's going.
Yeah,
and the ending is he's friends with robots. I don't know.
he's a bit of a Damien ripoff, but I don't mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think it's great. It's a great character, and it's a wonderful series if you're not reading it. Journey into Mystery. Awesome. Let's get to the next question.
Really good.
Who's your favorite superhero pet?
Superhero pet.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
Squirrel Girl.
Oh, nice.
Hello.
Sexy.
No, Pete.
Oh, jeez. We've lost Pete. Pete's eyes just rolled back.
What's his name? Niels? Speedball's cat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good answer. Speedball. Great character.
Thanks.
Great fun.
Does Cable have a dog?
Probably.
Sure, yeah.
I feel like in the Marvel versus Capcom video games that I often play that you can call on his dog to come in and sort of...
Does the dog also have a cybernetic arm and too many pouches?
Yeah.
I don't remember it that well, but I would say that's the only way I could think of, really.
Man, I hope so, though.
Yeah,
what about you guys?
Now I wanted to say Mega Man's dog.
Oh, nice. Perfect. If your dog could turn into a little jet sled.
Yeah.
Justin, what about you?
Super dinosaur?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
He's a pretty good pet.
Old Lace?
Old Lace is pretty good.
Nice.
Good pet, though. That's what I'm known as in some circles.
Hello.
Some people call him Jeff. Some people call him Old Lace. Cool. Let's get the next question.
Did you answer? Oh, you did.
Yeah.
What will you miss most about the pit?
Nice.
Well, let's see.
I would say all the friendly staff that work here.
Cool. Yeah. You said it like you didn't mean it.
Justin, what about you?
The memories.
Yeah.
No. I'm deleting
them. You can just delete them all as soon as we leave?
Oh, yeah. I do that all the time with everything.
I have to say, one of my favorite things about the pit, where we perform, and for those of you listening to the podcast version, you wouldn't know this, but right next to the stage, there's a really beautiful piano.
What?
We're sitting over there.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what?
Excuse me?
A piano.
I still don't know.
It's
good. Got to pronounce all the
words. Yeah, it's really good. What are you guys going to miss most about the pit?
Well, you've been here more than once.
Yes, I have. Well, I've never been to this new pit, which is quite nice.
So what are you going to miss
about the listeners
it?
At home? I'll miss the very nice bar upstairs. But does pianos have a bar?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yep. It has three bars.
Yeah.
Actually.
One on top of each other.
Yeah.
You climb up with ladders.
Bars
and then you come
bars.
Down with slides.
Just try to stay sober.
It's nuts. It's crazy.
I'm going to miss all the handprints on the pillars here. I've taken this design aesthetic and brought it to my home.
I'm going to miss the big brick wall.
I know. Well, you can miss that right now because it's not there.
Yeah, there we go.
It's over there. Oh, yeah.
It's definitely not. All right. That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Boothman.
Boothman.
Okay, guys. We are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Yay! Here's the deal with the Week in Geek. We're going to talk over some geek culture topics, things that have happened the past week, and we're going to kick it off, as we always do, with The Walking Dead!
Yeah!
So, guys, if you did not watch this week's episode of The Walking Dead, earmuffs on, but earmuffs. Big episode, activate. Huge episode, gigantic things happen, finally culmination of Rick and Shane fighting ended with Rick killing Shane, stabbing him in the gut as Shane tried to shoot him. And then, not only that, we also found out that you don't have to be bitten to be a zombie because Shane popped right back up as a zombie without being bitten.
What?
And then Carl shot him in the head, and then Rick and Carl were all like, well, let's talk for a second while zombie hordes are setting up.
Well, I love they're like, let's walk really slowly back to the farm, no matter what's behind us.
But can we talk about the biggest event? Those are some crazy things. T-Dog, several lines this episode.
T-Dog!
Unbelievable.
It was
crazy.
T-Dog. Okay.
I think T-Dog's first off the new Shane. I think he's going to rise to prominence.
Let's hope not.
Huh?
I hope T-Dog. So. He's going to have to shave his head and then rub his head a lot.
Yeah.
Shane started, I don't know, I liked what happened in this episode, but I feel like the acting in this show is getting crazy. Like, the way that Shane, like, was like, it was like, that's like a Bugs Bunny version of crazy. And then he, like, ran into the tree. I was like, there are way easy ways to look injured than running headfirst into the tree.
You weren't a fan
crazy
of this episode.
People do that, though.
Run into trees?
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Yep.
Thank you, Larry Legendary.
I've seen it.
Where have you seen it?
In
the woods?
I come from the magical land called the Bronx, so I've seen a thing or two in my day.
I will back him up. The forest is one of the best places to see trees.
Yeah. Great. Great stuff, guys. Well, but you heard it here first, guys.
You were saying you were not a big fan of this episode.
Yeah, I think I thought it was Rick, the way that he stabbed Shane, I thought made him so unlikable. He was like, You did this. Like, it wasn't like a heroic thing, or it wasn't like I was doing this for the right reason.
Yeah, I did actually read an interview with Glenn Mazzara, who's the executive producer, after the episode, and he was talking about it a little bit. I read it as, Shane shot first kind of thing. He did drive him to it. Yeah. But Glenn Mazzara was saying that it was way more personal than that, and it was really him asserting his manhood and taking it out on him, being like, you fucked my wife, and then killing him for that. The way you're saying it and the way you read it was actually accurate.
Yeah, no.
As far as the acting, though, I would like to say Shane's look when Lori was like having that weird talk with him, I thought that was a really great acting moment.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, besides the tree stuff, I feel like John Berthal, I think his name, who plays Shane, I thought he's so much more likable than the guy that plays Rick, I think.
Yeah.
I almost wish that they were switched and we had him playing Rick, because when Shane and Lori, all their scenes over these past few seasons, like, are so much, I believe them in a relationship. When Rick and Lori are talking, I'm like, do you guys even really know each other? What's the deal?
I feel like this episode, like a lot of the episodes, was kind of a mixed bag in a way, because there were some really great scenes. Lori's speech to Shane, where she says, I screwed up, I feel so bad about this. Really well-acted scene, really well-written scene, but at the time, she's apologizing to him for her trying to rape her.
Yeah.
Which is a very weird motivation to have.
Well, and just the whole thing, it was a little weird.
Also, can we talk about the blocking at the end where, okay, so Shane's plan is he kills Randall, and then he leads them on a wild goose chase through the woods to get away from Randall, basically to take Rick as far away from the farm as he possibly can so he can kill him. They're on this beautifully lit, moonlit hill, far away. There's nobody around. They're far away from the farm. And then after Rick kills Shane, they're like 10 feet from the farm, and Carl is standing there.
I know. I love that.
That was amazing.
Also, it goes back to Pete's point last week, and the show was like, who's watching Carl?
Nobody fucking watches
Carl. And in this episode, Carl shows up, and he's like, bang, and kills a dude.
Can I plug a thing? Do you guys mind if I plug a thing? Last night, this is what my wife and I do at home. I don't want to get like too sexy.
Whoa, let's do it.
But
if this is anything like what Larry's been talking about, I'm really interested.
My wife and I started a Tumblr blog last night because we couldn't sleep, called getoutofhearcarl.tumblr.com, and it's pictures of Carl showing up in places he shouldn't be, like the Death Star and in Scarface and things like that. So if you'd like to submit a picture, you should check it out. Get out of your Carl.com.
Wow. Would you say this is the culmination of your marriage?
I think so. I was like,
Keep in mind, you have a daughter also.
I have a daughter. We put up get out of your Carl.tumblr.com, and I was like, well, let's get divorced. And she was like, all right.
Okay, good. Are you going to keep the blog going?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, nice. Great. I will say, back on Walking Dead, if you don't mind.
No. Let's keep plugging my Tumblr blog I made at 12:30 last night.
I thought you were going to say your wife.
I'm done with that.
All the zombies walking across the field, I thought was a really cool way to end. Yeah. I think this next episode is going to be pretty awesome.
That last 10 minutes, even if there were parts that didn't make sense, I felt like it powered through the lack of sense to be totally awesome. Completely sold me on the end of that.
I'd like to work on a companion blog called What You Up To, T-Dog? Where I edit together all the clips of T-Dog doing stuff, and it'll be like 40 seconds. And it'll be him just like being like, what? Where are we going? I'm sick. And that's pretty much all he's done.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty...
sleepy?
Yeah, I was pretty sleepy at 12:30 at night. No, it was one of those things where I thought that was... You had to be done. I thought he had to stab his friend. And
good to know about you and I.
Yeah, yeah. I actually pictured me stabbing you when I saw that. And I was like, that's got to feel great. Just to be able to stab your friend and get it over with. Because it's like always there when we hang out. It's like always around us.
What's your wife's name?
Lori.
Oh, that's weird. That's a weird question.
All right, let's move on. Next little news Thank item you for Alan. You guys. There, I don't know if you guys know, but a long time ago, Nicolas Cage owns a copy of Action Comics #1, and it was actually stolen. There was a heist to steal it from his house, and eventually he got it back like a decade later. There's now a movie that is being made called Action #1 about that heist to steal the book from Nicolas Cage.
Wow.
Also, awesome.
What do you guys think about this?
Isn't Jason Statham... like his name's been floating around to be in it.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Well, because in real life, Jason Statham stole the comic from him.
It's like The Italian Job. But with Kennedy Cooper.
What do you guys think? Are you excited about this movie? Is this something you want to see?
If Nicolas Cage is in it, I would see it.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I'll only go see the movie if Nicolas Cage is in it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to play himself.
As long as it's actually secretly Ghost Rider 3, I'd be sure.
I'm sure that's what he wants to do.
I hope
be
he's
like,
pissing
and
fire.
And when I came home, that's when my head burst into flames, and I grabbed a chain.
So it's not really a movie so much as him telling a story to the audience.
Just as interesting.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. All right, let's move on. There's another big piece of news that came out of South by Southwest this week. Marvel announced their plans for Infinite Comics, which are a new digital platform specifically formatted for iPads. The first comic is a Nova comic tying into Avengers versus X-Men that's being written by Mark Waid with art by Stuart Immonen. And the idea here is that it doesn't really go by pages. It's individual panels. It's not motion comics, but clicking through, there's certain techniques that say you can have a character go from the foreground to the background, so there is a little bit of movement there, or captions appear over it. This is things we've seen before. We've had people talk about comics like Power Play on the show before, Box 13, but this is the first time a major publisher is doing it. What do you guys think about this initiative?
Well, I think it was inevitable that, with great new technology comes great new ideas. And for someone like me that really is not, in Forbidden Planet every weekend, something like that is just going to make it all the more easy for me to maybe access, a lot of the wonderful world of comics and then, even be able to stream that to my television for a whole new, type of interactive way of experiencing a comic. So I think it's great.
Well, I'm all for more people. Anything that gets more people into reading comics, I think, is wonderful. But I personally don't like reading panel to panel. I think that the way a page is made up, with the way the panels are arranged, and the impact, I think, is really important to the art of a comic book. So I'm not a big fan of. I think it's not going to compare with movies or TV if you're doing just a single screen.
Yeah. I mean, the way I read comics is taking the issue and throwing it in the air. And just whatever I get is probably enough. And that's going to get real expensive on the old iPad.
Yeah. I'm wondering, Pete, with comics mostly being on the iPad, how are you going to get them as dirty and creased as possible?
Stop saying that.
Well, let me ask you.
I'll bag and board all my iPads.
I was just going to say.
Cool. Last little bit of news. I think you guys are going to be pretty excited about this. Finally, after years and years, a Mandrake the Magician movie is in development. Are you guys excited about this?
Yeah.
Pete, you got to be excited about this, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Actually, when we were talking about movies before, I was going to bring this up. Because I really want to see this being made. So.
Yes. What's one fact about Mandrake the Magician?
Oh, well, there's a magician, and his name is Mandrake.
Yeah, he is.
I did it.
Yep.
Do any of you know Mandrake the Magician?
Yeah, he often has a jacket on.
And sometimes a hat.
Yeah.
Does magic.
Yep.
Like if it's colder outside.
This movie is going to do real well.
Do you want to give us the backstory?
You want to tell us what it is?
I'll tell you guys later.
But they're already making a magician movie with called Burt Wonderstone with Jim Carrey versus Steve Carell, so I think that's going to be hard to tell.
That's going to be a comedy looks really good.
All right,
doesn't seem like a comedy.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out more about Mandrake the Magician and let you guys know what's going on with him next week, and that's it for the Week in Geek.
That's what I call homework.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Next section is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, guys. This is where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming out to the show. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free from Midtown Comics because they're nice enough to sponsor the show. Who would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand. Simply raise your hand. Yes, you first hand up, girl. Come on down. All right, what is your name? Here, grab this mic.
Christina.
Christina, audience, Christina.
Hello.
Okay, here is your gift card that you're probably going to win. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3. Gift card yours. Okay. So today's trivia is on the June solicitations for comics coming out in June.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking forward in
forward
time,
thinking.
Guys.
Thinking.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Question number one.
Welcome.
Thank you, Boothman, for the lovely music. Before Watchmen, the comic's called Comedian Number One, is written by, is it A, Michael Straczynski, B, Brian Azzarello, or C, Earth 2 Carrot Top? So it's either A, Michael Straczynski, or B, Brian Azzarello, which would be amazing. Him writing Comedian.
Yeah.
Yes, B, correct!
Hey, Pete, I'll have you know, on Earth 2, Carrot Top's a very funny and smart comedian.
Yeah, oh! Figured that. All right, here we go.
He has a show in Vegas. So.
Yeah, exactly. In Earth.
Starting with Batman number 10, who will be doing the backup story? Is it A, Raphael Albuquerque, B, David Finch, or C, Henchman number 3? So it's either A, which would be the correct answer, or it's B, David Finch.
You sure it's not C? I'm going to go with A.
A is correct.
He was a henchman. He came up as a henchman.
Yeah, but he wasn't henchman number 3.
You're right. You're right.
It's number 5.
A lot of writers.
Okay. Spider-Man, talked about it earlier, which teases to have Peter Parker and Miles Morales. We don't know that for a fact yet, though. Will be written by, is it A, Jason Aaron, B, Brian Michael Bendis, or C, the Green Goblin's mom? So it's either A, don't pick A, or it's B, Brian Michael Bendis.
I'm going to go with B.
B is correct.
Awesome
oh
job.
Oh, my God. Dominated. You dominated. Congratulations.
Unbelievable.
Fantastic.
I actually kind of want to see a comic with Green Goblin's mom in it now.
Yeah.
I'm really curious.
Yeah. You think she's ashamed, or is she like, go get him? Go get him, Gabby.
I sold you a new glider.
Yeah. Wow.
I like that zone. It's a glider cozy.
Yes. Well, you want to wrap it in like a yarn thing. At
He's
night.
Like, Mom, my feet don't get cold. Leave me alone. They're okay.
They have very similar voices, those characters you do.
Well, I know.
I have like, a lot. Like mother, like son.
Yeah, probably. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to the new Lock and Key. It's an amazing series, and I hope that eventually turns into an animated series because Fox wasn't smart enough to make it a TV show.
Yeah, great series. Definitely pick it up. Yeah.
Yep. I'm looking forward to Saga Number One, the new Brian K. Vaughan comic. Very excited talking about Why the Last Man. Excited to see something
Saga
on the shelves.
I thought it was at first Sega Number One, but no.
No, it's not. That's a good... You just got to read the word.
Yeah, can I say, and I know Pete's going to yell at me about this, but Saga Number One, perfect first issue. If you...
What the fuck, man?
Hold on. The reason I want to say this is if you don't regularly pick up comic books, you should go to the comic book shop tomorrow, pick up Saga, because you... everybody will love it. It's not necessarily for kids. Everybody. That's the only people I would say it's not necessarily for. But well, if you are,
sex stuff?
If you're into like vampires biting tits or whatever, Larry, it's
boobies are for biting.
It's a superb debut first issue. It's absolutely fantastic, and it's for everybody. It's going to be the next big comic book thing. So if you didn't pick up Why the Last Man originally, if you didn't pick up Runaways originally, or any of those books that Brian K. Vaughan has written before, you should definitely pick that up. Sorry, Pete.
Yeah, share my pick, your comics.
No. My pick is Womanthology is coming out from IDW. It's a Kickstarter anthology that was it takes a ton of female creators, put them together. I'm really curious to see what happened because it made a buttload of money on Kickstarter, and there's a really amazing lineup as well. So I think it should be a cool read, and I'm curious to pick that up. Larry, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm a little biased, as with my pick for being the husband or spouse of a superhero, so I'm going to say DC Online Legends, because I am Larry Legend, and a lot of the times when you put yourself out there that way, I like to see you back it up, so that's the one that caught my eye.
All right, and Larry, plug something people should check out from you.
Sure, how about my Twitter feed, which is BLKLKP at Twitter.com.
All right, there we go. Grace, what are you looking forward to?
Avengers Assemble number one.
Yeah.
It's like getting the movie ready. I think it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. It's going to be in continuity, though, so I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
I hope that everyone buys a copy of Superbia. You can get it online at Comixology at your local comic book store. And also check out my vlog on YouTube. And it's also featured on Bleeding Cool, but it's youtube.com/thinkaboutheink. One word.
Think all right, there we go. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out online at comicbookclublive.com. Also on Nerdist.com, where the audio podcasts go up, and pretty soon the video episodes as well.
Oh, yeah.
Next week on the show, to close things out here at the Pit, we're going to have comedian Mike Lawrence is going to be on the show, right?
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, which is great.
And maybe very exciting. A surprise guest. We'll see.
Maybe a surprise guest. Maybe some prizes for you guys. Who knows what's going to happen?
Big surprise.
We're going to burn this mother down, y'all.
Yes.
Pete, anything you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on our show.
Yeah.
All right. A couple of people we want to thank. Before we go, we want to thank Larry for being on the show.
Yeah.
Grace.
Grace.
Yeah.
Boothman. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater for one more week. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.